How's everybody doing? Terry will be here next week. But I can tell you guys, I've been very convicted by what I've been studying this week. And hopefully I can share that with you. So we can all be convicted and taught together. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you for this time of worship that you've just given us. Lord, we take life for granted in so many ways. What we believe to be trials and tribulations are light in comparison to what others go through and are going through, especially in other parts of the world. And Lord, you know where we stand. God, you know the time that we spend with you. You know whether or not we're being a good disciple, a faithful disciple. Lord, you know the struggles that we have, each and every single one of us. Lord, deep down inside, we want to overcome all of these things. Deep down inside, our spirit, our soul longs for when we will be in your presence, no longer having to deal with temptation, with sin, with tribulations, with trials, with illnesses. But Lord, in the meantime, we pray that you would help us as we live this life here on this earth. Lord, that we would be able to live in your power and your strength. And Lord, this morning I pray that we would walk away with just practical things that we can do to help us accomplish this. We look to you, Lord Jesus. We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and we're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And I just kind of want to set up, what's going on here. Paul was imprisoned in Rome when he appealed to Caesar because, of things that were not done properly according to their law. He was released. He was set free, okay, but then there came a time when this Emperor Nero guy came into power. Emperor Nero was a guy who was persecuting the church. I mean, blaming ridiculous things on Christians. Ridiculous things like, because of the Christians, earthquakes. Because of the Christians, natural disasters. There was a big fire that took place in Rome. A lot of people believe it was the very Emperor Nero himself, but guess who he blamed it on? It was the Christians. They're the ones that lit this place on fire. Nero did some horrible things to Christians at that time. Things that, were they to happen to us right now, it would seem like a movie, not reality. But things such as, they were crucified. Yeah, I know you've heard that about Jesus, but still, that was a big thing. Another way he would get at these guys is he would tie them in skins of animals. Okay? Tie Christians in skins of animals, throw them into the arena where dogs would be, and they would devour these Christians. He would throw Christians into the arena with wild beasts. Lions, and just for the people to be entertained so that they could be torn apart into pieces. He tied Christians to stakes in his garden, and he would pour pitch on Christians And he would light these Christians on fire. And they would be his human torches at night. These are the kind of things that were happening around this time. Paul was in prison, second time around, under this guy, Emperor Nero. Paul would go on to be executed right after this. This was his last thing. And before he was executed, he wrote 2 Timothy. He wrote 2 Timothy and he said, Timothy, in the midst of all these things that are going on, I want you to stay faithful. Man, you've got to hang in there. You're going to face some tough times. You remember a few years back, across the border, there was a drug war. And I wouldn't have gone over there for any reason, right? Well, imagine that, but open season on Christians. Imagine that, but walking out those doors, people were seeking Christians so that they could do these cruel things to. And Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, you got to hang in there, man. You've got to go on. You can't back down. You can't chicken out. This is real, but you've got to keep on going. Let's go ahead and pick up. I want to start in chapter 1, verse 13. And it says this. Paul tells Timothy, chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Timothy, people have turned away from me. These guys have abandoned me. They were ashamed of me in the gospel. But you can't do that. You cannot do that. As we're going to read the first six verses of chapter 2, I see kind of a list. Timothy, this is what you have to do in order to endure during this time. Okay? Let's go ahead and read the first six verses of chapter 2. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops." All right, so six things that I see there. Okay, well, really seven things. But first of all, Timothy, the first thing you got to do is you've got to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Like, imagine I had biceps, okay? And imagine that right here would be the word grace, okay? Timothy, this is where your strength is to be found. In the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, Timothy, I think a couple of things. Man, don't be so self-condemning on yourself. All right, remember that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Yes, Timothy, you're not worth it. Like, you're a timid guy. You've blown it. You might think that there are people that can do better than you. But Timothy, through the grace that is in Christ Jesus, you can do anything. Right? You can do all things that I call you to do through the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in that. It's like, Timothy, remember grace? Well, let it be on steroids in you. Man, let it be active. Let it strengthen you for service. Another thing, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Man, take that power. Live in it. Soak yourself in his grace. Depend on it. Timothy, not in your own strength, but depend on the grace and the strength that is in Christ Jesus. Paul had already told Timothy, Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear in chapter 1, verse 7, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Paul had learned that everything that he was wasn't in his own strength. You know, Paul was a knowledgeable guy. I'd be intimidated to talk to that guy. I don't know if I'd want to talk doctrine with that guy. I would rather listen to him than talk, okay? But Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He didn't take any credit for who he was, for all that he had accomplished. Paul wrote that he had a thorn in the flesh. You guys remember that? And it says that he prayed that God would take it away from him. And we don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. I believe it kept him humble. It kept him depending on God. It kept him just realizing that he's so weak. And he wrote, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Paul said this, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So how do we build up God's grace in us? Like, I was trying to think through that. Like, okay, Lord, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Like, what gym do we go pump iron for this? Or how do we do this? How do we accomplish this? Well, a few things that came to mind. I think by searching his word. In searching his word, we're going to find his will. In searching his word, our faith is going to increase in him. Like, we're going to see all the times that he was faithful to his people. We're going to see all the times that he delivered his elect. We're going to see all the time that he never left them. He never forsook them. He was always there with them. If we search his word, it's going to teach us his characteristics. God is infinite in love. God is the most powerful being compared to anything else. Nothing compares to him. God is outside of time. Man, he knows the future. He knows the beginning to the end. He knows all those things. God is unchangeable, and his promises are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man, as you search his word, you're going to learn his characteristics. Another thing, if you search his word, you're going to be taught how to successfully deal with all the curveballs that life throws at you. We get curveballs, don't we? Sickness, illness, cancer, death of a loved one, loss of a job. All these curveballs, they're like, wait a second, how was I supposed to plan for that? Well, you can prepare for it. Another thing we can do to build up the strength of God's grace in us is to seek his presence. Man, seek his presence. You know, when we're in God's presence, we're put in a place where God can pour himself into us. So ask yourself that question. When's the last time I sought God's presence? Lord, I just want to be in your presence right now. I want to follow you. Like, I want to hear from you. Speak to me. Speak to me. So be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The second thing I see there, if you look at verse 2, it says, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Second thing, Timothy, pass on these truths to faithful men who can teach others. All right, multiplication. Timothy, don't just do this on your own. You can't. You know, the whole goal is for you to multiply yourself, okay? Guys, listen to this. The task of the church, imagine this building. Imagine you and I, okay? The task of the local church is to not just simply preserve the truth like we were a museum. That's not the only job of the church, to preserve truth like if we were a museum. The task of the church is to live the truth and to teach it to the generations that are coming up. Christian, your job is not to simply learn what truth is. You know, we get to come weekly and sit and listen to Terry, and we know he works hard, and we know that we're going to get the Word of God. But that's not enough. Knowledge isn't enough. Satan and the demons have probably a better knowledge of the power of God and who he is than you and I. But he didn't put it into practice. Your job is to live it. So let me ask you and think about this. Are you living the Word of God? Are you living it out? Your job is not only to live it, but it's to teach by example your kids. Are you doing that? It's not only to live it, not only to teach your kids, but to teach others. You see a young man or a young woman coming up, growing up, maybe a new believer, whatever the case is. You know what, man? I want to teach you some things. Or can we, let's just, maybe you kind of trick them into it. Hey, let's go hang out. Right? But prayerfully, you're there and you want to encourage this young believer in Christ. Timothy, don't just store up the information. You're not a hard drive. All right? You've got more purpose than just that. So share it with other people who can teach others. Another thing Timothy must do, verse 3. It says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." The New Living Translation says, "Endure suffering along with me." And Timothy, that's what you've got to do. You've got to endure suffering along with me. Partake with me in this suffering. Timothy, you've got to be a part of this, man. Join the club. It's an awesome club in the end. Tough right now, but in the end, it's an awesome club. Those who would approve themselves good soldiers of Jesus Christ must endure hardness. We've got to expect it. We've got to count upon it in this world. We must endure and accustom ourselves to it. We must bear it patiently when it comes, and we must not be moved by it from our integrity. Endure the suffering. And then he starts using the example, a good soldier. As a good soldier, guys, the discipline of the Roman army was severe. And I think that at the time that Paul wrote this, everybody would have understood that. Seeing the Roman army, how they worked, how they operated. Man, these guys were amazing people. This army was amazing. These guys were tough. All right? These guys weren't getting their nails done on the weekends, giving each other, pedicures and stuff like that. Man, these guys would spend hours a day training on combat, using their tools, using their weapons. They would spend hours also on working together, formations. It was not an easy thing. These guys had to carry a ton of stuff with them when they walked. For example, an ordinary foot soldier was compelled to carry a saw, a basket, a pickaxe, an axe, and a hook, together with 3 days of rations. You know, soldiers didn't just fight well. These guys built roads. These guys built walls. These guys kept peace. You know what? I'll tell you this. If I lived in those times, I wouldn't want to mess with a Roman soldier. I just wouldn't do it. I'd be like, hey, what's up? Now, unless I had to do it for the faith, but still, I wouldn't want to do that. If Roman soldiers had to go through all of this, man, this hard work, getting hurt, you know, stress and strain of being a Roman soldier, why not a Christian do that for the Almighty God? Why not? You know, some of us, we worry and we're like, oh man, I got to sacrifice my Sundays. Híjole. Guys, that's nothing. That's nothing. Timothy, endure these afflictions with me. Join in the suffering. Another thing, look at verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Timothy, another thing you have to do, okay, you've got to keep this in mind. Another thing you have to do is you must be wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus. You've got to be wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus. That word engaged, okay, no one engaged in warfare. That word engaged means to be on active service. It means to make a military expedition, to be on military duty, to be engaged in warfare. Timothy, you should think yourself as those soldiers on the way to battle, those soldiers on active duty. You are on active duty as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And those soldiers, by the way, they had to respect those above them. Man, if anybody were to try and get out of that army, it was pretty tough, the consequences they would have to face. Very tough. And if one guy were to try and run away from the army, not only would he be punished, but many others in his group. So they were afraid to do that. It was highly discouraged that they would forsake the obedience of their commander. So Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, just the way those soldiers seek to please and obey and do without question whatever their commanding officer tells them, Timothy, you've got to be that same way with Jesus Christ. You've got to be wholeheartedly devoted. Don't question him. Don't argue with him. Don't tell him he's stupid. Lord, you said this, that's what I'm going to do. A person in the Roman army wasn't allowed to marry. Check that out. A person in the Roman army could not engage in agriculture or in trade or in manufacture. He was a soldier and he could not be anything else. That was his job. That's what he was paid to do. That's what he was trained to do. That is what he was supposed to do. As a Christian, our first goal, our utmost, is to please and obey and love our Lord. That's it. That's our purpose in life. All other things should be on the back burner. And they'll fall into place. Now, I understand. Timothy is a pastor dude. And you're thinking, well, I'm not a pastor. Yes, you have to work. Yes, we have responsibilities. But first thing should be your pleasing God in your job, in your profession, at your school, in your relationships, in your family. Wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus. Let's look at another thing, verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Timothy, if you're going to do this, if you're going to endure, you've got to obey the rules. Again, athletics, you know, these Greek guys, they had the Olympics. That's where it started, okay? This was serious. This was like Super Bowl, all right? This was like, man, we're going to go. This is so important. They had rules they had to follow. There was a span of time that they had to train for. They had to be a citizen in good reputation of their country. And if they were found to have gone against any of the rules or broken the rules before they competed, they wouldn't be allowed to compete. And if anybody would have won their competition and it was later discovered that they had broken any rules, that would be taken away from them. Timothy, you've got to stick to the rules. You've got to obey the rules. Let's think about Paul, okay? Paul, by human standards, he was a loser. He was a loser. This guy was in prison, okay? Everybody had abandoned him. There was nobody in the stands cheering him. All right, Paul, man, look at this guy. He's a criminal. Good job, Paul. Nobody was doing that. But Paul was a winner because he kept the rules laid down for him in the Word of God. He obeyed God's Word. Paul was telling Timothy, Timothy, the important thing is that you obey the Word of God, no matter what people say. Man, you're not running to please people or to get fame. You're running to please Jesus Christ alone. This was very convicting. I'm going to read to you something that I read. And it says this: if we fail in seeking to live a holy life, let me start that again. If we fail in seeking to live a holy life, seeking to live a holy life, we have no right to expect God to bless us or to see our Christian life flourish. If you're not seeking holiness, if you're not seeking living according to the Word of God, then you have no right to expect Him to bless you in your ministry, to bless you in your life, to bless you in your business, to bless you in your family. You have no right. You should be disqualified. It takes discipline. It takes dedication. It takes direction. You've got to obey the rules. Some heavy stuff. Another thing, moving along, verse 6. Paul says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Timothy, you've got to work hard. If any of you know farmers, you know that they work hard. You know what my dad does for a hobby? He farms. And so for him, fun was, hey, we get to go and pick up 500 bales of hay today. So let's go. So many times, I can't tell you how many times me and my brothers were on our way to play golf, watch a movie, and we got the phone call. Orale. A levantar pacas. We got to go pick up hay, man. And to my dad, this was fun. But what I'm noticing and what I've noticed about farmers is those guys work hard. You have to work hard. Farmers and you know, so many other professions, but farmers, they have to have it, man. You've got to be willing to wake up before the sun comes up. And think about this. At this time, they didn't have tractors. There's no John Deere. Right? Man, it was hand tools. You've got to work hard. That word there, it means to labor with wearisome effort. It means to toil. Guys, it's the same with a Christian spiritual life. It's the same. A Christian cannot expect a fruitful spiritual life without perseverance and effort. To endure, Timothy, you've got to work hard. To live successfully as a Christian, you've got to work hard. You have to put effort. Another thing that I read that was very convicting, and I'm going to read it to you. J.C. Ryle said, I should as soon expect a farmer to prosper in business who concerned himself with sowing his fields and never looking at them till harvest. You get that? A farmer who goes and sows and then just never returns until it's time to harvest. He's saying, I don't expect that guy to be successful. As expect a believer to attain holiness who is not diligent about reading his Bible, about his prayers, and about the use of his Sunday. A farmer can't go throw seed, see ya, come back to a beautiful clean crop. No. Dude, it's day in, day out, chopping weeds, watering, whatever it takes, fertilizing, everything. Christian, Paul is telling Timothy and he's telling us, you've got to work hard. It's work. Great reward, but it's work. A couple of sayings that I thought were pretty cool. In order to live off of a garden, you practically have to live in it. You got to spend a lot of time there. I like this. Triumph is just umph added to try. Triumph is just umph added to try. Timothy, you've got to work hard. Moving along. Verse 7. One last thing. Timothy, you got to do this. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Timothy, you've got to consider these things. Man, you've got to think upon these things. You've got to ponder these things. You've got to chew these things. Look, Timothy, continue to think through this very carefully. Guys, when we study God's word, it's not enough just to read it. You don't read it and just mark it. Okay, read that book. That's not enough. We're supposed to take special care that it's not just an intellectual exercise. It's not a history book. While it can be used for history, but it's more than that. It's not a science book, although it's never been proven wrong scientifically, but it's more than that. It's so much more than that. It is God who gives understanding. Check this out. The most intelligent person needs God to explain to him his own word. I don't care how smart you are. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you. You've got to chew on it. You've got to think about it. You've got to meditate on it. You know how sometimes people say some things that offend you? Well, he said, I look fat. I mean, do I really look fat? Why would he say that? Maybe he was just upset. I have been eating a lot lately. And you just start thinking through things. Same thing with God's word. Hey, I read this. Lord, what does that mean? Like, take me deeper. Guys, it's like peeling an onion. There's layers and layers and layers and layers. So, consider those things. A couple more things just to finish off. I see Paul telling Timothy about things he should remember now. Timothy, there are some things you need to remember in order to endure these things. Look at verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Timothy, remember Jesus raised from the dead. Literally, that's how it reads. Jesus raised from the dead. Timothy, remember that. Jesus raised from the dead. What an encouragement Jesus Christ is to a struggling believer, to somebody that is possibly going to face persecution. Death isn't the end. Jesus rose from the dead, and so will the faithful believer in Christ. The ultimate example of endurance, Jesus Christ. Another thing you should remember, look at verses 9 and 10. For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Timothy, another thing you should remember, you may be persecuted, but you've got to remember this. God's word will never suffer from persecution. Paul was suffering from persecution, but God's word was still moving in power. It was still changing lives. It was saving souls. It was giving freedom to those that were enslaved to sin. Guys, the word of God, it's unique. Did you guys know it's alive? It's living? There's power. That's what it says in Hebrews. It says, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Guys, when you read this, when you use this to minister, God puts power behind it. That's supernatural. It's not only inspiring, but it is powerful. It is alive. God wrote in Isaiah, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth the bud, or make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it." So because of that, Timothy, remember, God's word is never going to suffer from persecution. Man, I'm going to endure all that I have to. Because as long as I can preach his word, lives will be affected. And he says, man, I'm going to suffer affliction. You know what he's saying? Man, I volunteer for the power of God, for the power of the word of God to go forth. I volunteer to suffer affliction. I expect it. I await it. I welcome it. But God's word is going to go forth. Paul knows that his suffering is not in vain. One more thing that Timothy is to remember. He's to remember the promises of Jesus. Look at verses 11 through 13. "For this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." Let me read to you something that Jesus said. He said, "Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." There's two promises there. There's a positive. Man, you confess me before men here on earth, I'm going to acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to be proud of you. You're proud of me here on earth, I'll be proud of you up there. You deny me here on earth, you will be denied in heaven before my Father. The first things there are positive in these few verses. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. Man, a couple ways you can look at that. If you die to yourself and live for him, then you're going to live with him from here on into eternity. Another way, if you die with him, if you're persecuted, if you're executed for the sake of the gospel, then you will reign with him. You're going to reign with him. There's the positive. And then the negative. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And that last part, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Think of that verse like this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful to his promises and his threats. God cannot go back on his word. He can't. He's already said it, and that is what it is. That is what it's going to be. Listen to this. The New Testament presents both the security of the believer and the demand for continuing faith and godliness. Christianity is an initial response of repentance and faith, followed by a continuing response of repentance and faith. So some of you might say, I believe. Maybe you might say, I prayed the prayer. But are you actively confessing, repenting, obeying? Do your actions say, God, I confess you in my life as my Lord and Savior? Or do your actions say, God, I don't care about you? Yes, I believe you're God, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Paul was able to say these words here at the end of 2 Timothy in chapter 4. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Man, he did it. So Timothy, these are the things you've got to do, man. You've got to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You've got to pass on these truths. You've got to endure suffering with me. You've got to be wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus. You've got to obey the rules. You've got to work hard. And you've got to consider and think through and meditate on all of God's word. And Timothy, while you're doing that, remember Jesus raised from the dead. While you're doing that, remember God's word will never suffer from persecution. And while you're doing that, remember the promises of Jesus. I was wondering whatever happened to Timothy, and I'll just close with this. In AD 97, the Ephesian pagans were celebrating a feast. When Timothy saw their pagan procession, he blocked their way and severely rebuked them for their idolatry. His holy boldness angered the pagans, and they attacked him with clubs and beat him so badly that he died of his injuries 2 days later. What are you willing to go through? What are you not willing to go through? Why are you being faithless to your commander? We all need help with that, don't we? I was very convicted by this. So let's pray and let's ask God to help us. Amen. Father God, we are weak. Lord, I must admit, in so many ways, I'm a big wimp. Many of us here are. Lord, we want to live this life, and we want to do it in a way that pleases you. We want to be able to live this life and know that on our deathbed, we will have no regrets. We will have no fear. But we would rather have an awaiting reward. And God, you know our hearts. We need your help, Lord. Right now, Christianity in America, piece of cake. But Lord, are we successfully living as your disciple? I want to give everybody just a minute so that we can give those things to God right now. Just give them to him. Lord, I give you all these things. And you just share with him how you're failing to follow him, how you're failing to please him. Lord, you know our deepest thoughts. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to seek support from one another. Help us to, Lord, do whatever it takes. Do whatever you have to do, God, but may we not forsake you. May we not just throw you to the wayside. May we not deny you. Strengthen us, God. And thank you for your grace, because, God, without it, it would be impossible. Thank you that you receive us every time we come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand up and close with this last song. If you need prayer, I know there's going to be people up here that can pray with you. And just let's think through everything that we read in God's Word today.